Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters edition. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us shortly. And we are back to talk some Vikings football. Now, normally we would have a longer in-depth review session from a game. We are going to talk, you know, some positives, maybe even a little negatives. But, you know, it was a meaningless game. It's funny. We were just talking off air, Aaron and I, and we were talking about, hey, last week we did a Thursday show, so we actually had a look at, an injury report. And maybe we have a little bit better idea of who's going to play and who's not, and then nobody played. So, like I said, we will shine a light on some bright spots, but – well, if they're bright spots, I guess you wouldn't have to shine a light on them, would you? But anyway, we'll talk a little bit about this. I don't call it an exhibition game because it counted, but it definitely had a preseason feel. The Gophers go down. Gophers, God, I'm all over the place. It might as well have been. The Vikings go down 21-19 in, like I said, a meaningless game in many ways. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but we're definitely going to spend some time on the playoff game here that we have before us. The Vikings in the Saints, the New Orleans Saints in the playoffs. No way. I can't believe we're playing the Saints in the playoffs. I don't think that's ever happened. But anyway, so we'll definitely preview and predict that. We'll get our thoughts on, you know, what do you think of sitting all the starters, especially coming off a very poorish performance and execution on offense? You would have thought that maybe you want to stay in rhythm. Maybe, you know, what's the point in the long run? We already know, you know, not who we're going to play, but we already know we're going to be sixth. You have a dumb injury. Maybe it made sense. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But like I said, a lot of it will have to do with previewing this Saints matchup. It's a tough road, no doubt about it. It's indoors. I guess that's nice, right? They're not the best rush defense. That's pretty nice, too. It looks like Cook will be back. I don't know how ready he'll be, but he'll be back. So we'll also talk a little bit like we do during this season, the Viking season. We'll talk a little bit at the very end of the podcast pertaining to the Minnesota Gophers against Auburn as well. The Gophers actually lost their offensive coordinator, so we'll get into that as well, but that's at the back end. Don't worry about it, Vikings fans. We're not going to talk Gophers football or college football to the end of the podcast. But anyway, like I said, we'll get into this in just a moment, but if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives. It's basically the headquarters. However, if you want to listen to the Living in Loserville podcast under the Rope It Up Radio podcast, you can find it anywhere. Apple Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn, Spricker, Stitcher. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including iHeartRadio. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find each of those platforms. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're just not that happy, you need some sort of package to watch some shows or to watch some live sports, I may have something for you. You may want to take a gander at it. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's streaming cable, live streaming cable. Okay, they have the 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract. However, the plans start as low as $50 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. It's a growing company, so it's available in a variety of places, one being Minneapolis, but California, New York, Florida, Texas, Washington, Kansas, Missouri, all sorts of places. Like I said, it is a growing company. It's continuing to catch on across the nation. It's called AT&T TV Now. and it is live streaming cable. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, just to, you know, say what's up. How is he doing? We got the New Year's celebration coming tomorrow. Where's your head at the back end of 2019, sir?
Well, just kind of a year in review, man. You know, last show of 2019, what a year it was. A lot of ups and downs, and mostly ups this year, so we're looking good on that. And, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. We got the Saints in a playoff game again. Seems to be like a bit of a rivalry we're having here with these guys. And, you know, we've won our share and lost our share, but it's going to be a tough matchup coming up. And, you know, coming off that Bears game, we didn't get to see a whole lot of the starters. We can speculate as to why. We talked a little bit off air about maybe this is maybe Zimmer's letting this game, you know, sink in a little bit, letting that Packers game sink in a little bit more than he usually would, and wants him to dwell on what a performance that was. And I guess it's better to maybe not injure anybody, but like you said, maybe we could talk a bit about, you know, keeping the team in rhythm. Although, you know, there wasn't a lot of rhythm against Green Bay on that Monday night. So, you know, you got to look at it 6-1, half dozen of the other. Where do you stand on that?
It's interesting because it surprised me first and foremost. Now, we had heard like maybe Kendricks was going to sit because he had gotten banged up at the end of that Green Bay game. I think Barr had too. I think maybe just Barr was cramping. I'm not sure. But, you know, obviously Dalvin Cook, who hadn't played the game before. Those are obvious ones, you know, like as far as someone that has been dealing with something that 2 weeks would really help him since we already know where we're at. That's cool. But I got to admit, I was a little surprised that he just shut down the whole starting unit on both sides. That you don't really see that a whole lot. So I was a little surprised. That whole timing thing, the rhythm, there is something to be said about that, especially like we said, how horrible that the offense played. It hadn't been right up there with one of the worst performances of the year. There's only a couple of them, but that was definitely one of them. So it's kind of like to get that out of your system. A lot of times, you know, there's so much speculation and talk when it comes to football because it's a week before your next game. So you got all this stuff, and that's why y'all, you know, you see knee jerk and over, like, you know, just overreactions in the moment when it's like, dude, the next game's Sunday, calm down. So I was a little surprised. I did think maybe by half they'd pull him out or in the third quarter, you know, treat it like maybe game three of the preseason where you go through the whole half, you feel out the third quarter or whatever. But, yeah, a tad bit surprised, I got to admit. I really thought that they'd play him and just based off rhythm and whatnot. You know, we started hearing the news not long after we were done with the show that night, and especially on Friday, then it seemed like this actually could happen. It does suck, though, for the people that paid full price for the game. I know a couple of them that went to it, and it was like NBA load management, except the whole load, you know, the whole warehouse, I should say. That would suck, though, bringing little Billy and Johnny to the game, and then, well, there's 19. There's Dixie too, who's standing right next to 19. They're on the. See, they still have their jerseys on. You know, that would be kind of crappy. But you know, that's the name of the game, and I guess, you know, it's easy to say that come Monday morning. But if Monday morning, you know, we have some major injuries, then we're, you know, pulling our hair out saying, why in the hell were any of the starters in there? So. Kind of in between. I get it, but just surprised, I guess.
Well, piggybacking off what you said about, you know, injuries, you got a lot of guys coming back from injury, and it would have been nice to maybe integrate that offense a little bit. Thielen's just coming back off an injury. You got Cook that would be coming back off an injury. Maybe get them some run in that first half would have been a good idea. But then again, the flip side of that is, you know, you make the injury worse or you sustain another injury, then you start to question why anybody played. So I think overall it's a good decision. I wasn't surprised to see it happen, but, you know, I guess that's, you think Zimmer's going to be the tough old codger that's going to make him play regardless of the situation. Right. And, you know, it's hard to tell what angle he was coming from, but I guess at the end of the day, nobody's any more hurt than they were. I thought there was maybe a small injury. Rashad Hill kind of had an issue, but hopefully he's not somebody you're going to see regularly against the Saints or later on throughout the playoffs. So, I mean, overall, he got out of it injury-free. He managed to get some guys some rest, got Cook another week, Thielen maybe another week to help him out a little bit, and hopefully you can get the rhythm back and ready to play because you're going to need to score points against the New Orleans Saints.
There's no doubt about that, and we're going to have to defend a pretty good quarterback and a pretty good quarterback wide receiver combo. He is a big guy, so maybe Xavier. Maybe he can shine like he used to in his prior life as a football player. There were some bright spots that we'll shine a light on, but, you know, just based off the run game, I feel like we would have played really well if we had our starters in this game. 17 carries, 148, 8.7 a clip, and a touchdown for Booney. Abdullah had some nice little runs too, but that definitely was something that I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. You would assume that Treadwell would have a decent game because, you know, there's only a couple of wide receivers playing, but, you know, he went a 0 for 0. You know, he had 0 catches, so that's not good. He couldn't, at least he didn't go negative catches. That's not possible though. So Boone looked good. The offensive line played good. They were missing some. That's the one thing that we did get somewhat right is that defensive line. Last week when we talked about how they may miss just more than one guy, and that was the case. You could tell there was an issue there because it definitely wasn't as stout as it had been in the last 3 games. But, you know, unfortunately, we did go 2-0 against the Lions and 0-2 apiece against the Bears and the Packers, which always kind of sucks. Defensively, though, I think that's where we started to see some – or not started to, like it's preseason or something – but we saw some folks shine there, too, on the defense and in the linebacker core, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to get Wilson playing well. He's like that third with Kendricks and Barr. And, you know, wish sometimes you could see a little bit more of him. But with Gideon out, I guess you do see a little bit more on the first two downs of the series. But, you know, he came in and played well. And that's what you want to see when you put in the backups is who's shining. And him, he played really well. I thought Sindale played pretty well, as hard as that is to say. And Kearse, they all kind of played well. It was nice to see kind of the depth playing and get a good look at what you might have. And also going back to the offensive line, I thought they played well for being kind of a patchwork line that they were. You didn't hear much from Khalil Mack. Now, I don't know if he mentally took the day off or what. But he didn't wreck the game as usual, and I don't know if that has to do with Ole Uda and Drew Samia, who I thought played really, really well as a guard in there. So there's some options, it looks like. But, I mean, if they're that good, they probably would supplant Elflein, and they haven't done that yet, or maybe they're just not comfortable with the offense. But I thought Drew Samia played really well on the offensive line. So there's some hope there to maybe have some depth in there. And the linebackers look good. Secondary was the Boyd kid played really well out on the corner. So it's good to see that there's some guys out there that can play a little bit. So there were, like you said, some bright spots on defensive line. Maybe you'll go into a little bit of that with Odenigbo made another play, and we had a Holmes made some plays. So there were some young guys that came in on the defensive line and made some plays as well. So it wasn't all a loss. You got to see some players that you don't usually see, but like you said, it did have a bit of a preseason feel to it.
Yeah, Weatherly, Brothers. Yeah, we're going to have some decisions to make as far as Everson Griffith and Griffin and our in the defensive linemen that are starting to turn the corner And you probably won't want to start to think about that. We're not going to talk about that in this episode per se. That'll be hopefully in February when the Super Bowl's over, right? Knock on wood. But yeah, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot of other items to discuss when it comes to this game. I am glad though that you brought up the offensive line, because you're right. It wasn't just boom. I mean, he didn't even, 17 carries. That's not a whole lot. So I liked what I saw out of them. And some of those youngsters you mentioned, good call on that, because, you know, depth and competing for a job next year is going to be key as we draft someone or as we bring in a free agent to have what we have here and put them in the competition as well. I think will help the overall, whoever comes out as the starter, I think that'll help the overall starter be fit and ready to play. Anything else, though, as far as the game goes, anything that kind of stood out to you? Because, like you said, I mean, much to it.
I think what you could get out of that is maybe they'll shake up that offensive line a little bit. Maybe that's a little bit why they played a lot of the young guys, to see if they had anybody that could actually hold up and maybe rework that line really quickly. Now, I don't think that's probable, but it's possible. I mean, it played so badly against Green Bay that, you know, you got to look for some answers. And maybe that was a bit of an audition for anybody on that line who can maybe make a little bit more of a difference in what's up there. I thought, you know, we've talked a little bit about the inside of that offensive line and how it seemed a bit locked down except for one of those guard spots. But overall, it was better than it was last season. And, you know, I still think you're a guard away somehow. And, you know, maybe Elflein gets pushed to a backup center or something. And Klein seems to be holding up well, and you know, so maybe you got to find that other guard, and you need maybe a left tackle coming into next season to just get it a little better. You know, Bradbury's had a rough night against Green Bay, but he's a rookie, and he got kind of his lunch handed to him. But that's going to happen, and I thought overall throughout the season he played pretty well. So, you know, you would have liked to see maybe Kirk come out and get some of that, you know, bad taste out of his mouth and get the rhythm going, but no, they didn't play anybody. So I guess we're going to have to see what becomes of this team going into New Orleans again, man. And I mean, we're almost familiar with New Orleans as we are a divisional team at this point. We've just played them so often, it seems, in the last few seasons that, you know, we go back to that one of the best Viking games ever with when Bradford just lit them up. That was, what, two seasons ago, maybe three. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
You go on to that playoff game.
Ago. Yep, that's right.
Sure. And then we go to the playoff game with the miracle game, which, you know, that was a rough game, man, and we don't want to break that one down. But, I mean, we won that game and lost it all in the same time and then won it again. So that's,
yeah, they got off to such a good start in that game, too, and looked like they gave it away, you know.
Yeah, and now here we are again going down to their place this time. And I can't remember the last playoff game we've had at New Orleans, but that's a whole different dynamic, and we're going to look at a whole different Saints team this time. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting game. Obviously, you've got to stop the run, and you've got to find a way to deal with Breeze. And if our secondary isn't up to snuff, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I can remember, if you count the playoffs and the regular season, you're right. We've really played the Saints a lot. I remember way back in the day when we put in Anthony Carter just on a limb, like, hey, why not? Let's just put him in. Let's just put him in as a punt returner. And, you know, he proceeded to take the punt all the way back for a TD. That was when the Saints were kind of just starting to get someplace. I remember it was a really big deal that they had made the playoffs that year, and then they got, you know, beat by the good old Vikings. I think that also was a year that the Vikes made a run and beat the Niners when AC went off that day against the Niners, who were a really good club at that point. Now, you know, we all know how that season ended. Maybe I'm mixing seasons there. I can't remember. It's been so long. But you're right. We played the Saints a whole lot. We know Drew Brees pretty well. This defense is actually somewhat contained him. You're not going to stop him, right? you're going to try to contain him in spots throughout the game, in moments, not let him just destroy you. Obviously, he's a stud. First ballot Hall of Famer. There's really no debate there. Kamara has some cook in him. Wasn't a super high first-round pick. Not that many running backs are these days, but I remember seeing him at Tennessee. I remember seeing him against Alabama and just in the SEC in general, so you know he got tested. Kamara is just that guy. He missed some time this year, but he's just that guy. And he can run, of course, as a running back, but he also can catch the ball. He's such a big threat. Our linebackers and safeties are definitely going to, that, you know, sitting in that outer area, you know, about 5 yards in, and just being in space with him is not always a fun thing for opposing defenses. So that's one of the matchups, those linebackers, even Harrison, who, you know, for the last, it seems like this year, I don't know if it's always been that, but this year Harrison's been on the line a whole lot. And that'll be something matchup-wise we're going to have to contend with, no doubt about it. Obviously, getting that pressure and pressure from the front four will be key too. Yeah, it's fun to blitz and all, but do you want to let a guy like Drew Brees like just eat you up where he knows where there's the hole in the defense where the blitz came from? It's going to have to be some crafty blitzes. Obviously, you know, Zimmer is definitely capable of that, no doubt about it, as far as calling it. But just the edges in general, and not just Hunter, but, you know, they really need to get after that. We cannot let him have, you know, that five-step drop, get through your rotation, look, oh, the third guy, sweet, he's open. You know, we can't have that. And obviously, they're stud at wide receiver, man. I mean, Thomas, I should say, is a damn good player. I mean, he had 100, dude. It's not our dad's NFL football anymore, dude, or our NFL football game, dude. He had 149 catches. 149. I know the scoring's up. Same way in the NBA, the scoring's way up. But I just realized he had that many catches. I knew he had a ton, and I knew he had passed 130, but 149 for 1,725. Only 9 touchies, though. Only 9 touchies. That's kind of funny. But, dude, I mean, my guess is they're going to target him, what, 32 times? They're going to target him, like, majorly. And he's a big dude, but he can run routes as well. So Xavier and company are going to have to show up. And so many times this year, Aaron, we talked about how the corners were in position at the last second. They just didn't make the play on the ball, didn't turn their head, didn't know where the ball was. Wherever it is, they were right there. It's not like all these touchdowns were just broken plays and, you know, guys falling on the ground or just getting beat by a double move. Or yeah, sure, some of that Kansas City, you know, stands out there. That Detroit game, the early one with Jones who had 4 touchdowns, there were a couple there. But, you know, that's a perfect example that Jones is that both his touchdowns on Xavier, we talked about those plays. They were bang-bang plays, and Xavier just couldn't get his hand up in time, and he normally does. So that's going to be some of the matchups just primarily here that we're going to have to contend with. And it just makes my skin crawl thinking about these corners trying to cover Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head there. I think that's really the key defensively to this game is, you know, Thomas is Thomas, and we're familiar with him, man. We've played him so many times that Xavier is familiar with him, and if Xavier's going to be the guy that's going to be on him, then I think that bodes pretty well. But, you know, that was last year Xavier or the year before Xavier. I mean, we don't know what this year Xavier is going to be like. I mean, he's held up well against the Saints, and so has Waynes, and those guys have done fairly well, you know, against them. So it's not a huge concern had they been playing well going into this, but we know that they haven't been playing well going into this. So that changes the dynamic a little bit. I think with the running game, I think it's a perfect matchup with Barr and Kendricks. I mean, Kendricks can tackle anybody in space. Barr's pretty good at it as well. So that's the thing. Defensive line, as far as ours go, like you said, you need that pass rush. It's got to be a disciplined pass rush. Breeze is not the kind of guy that wants to get out of the pocket, but he sure as hell will if you let him. And so you got to have, maybe some rush up the middle. Got to generate that somehow. And I think maybe rotating those defensive linemen now when you got some young dogs that can come in and spell some other guys and maybe just change the way that the line looks a little bit. Maybe pull Linval on third down. Do some things like that to kind of mix it up a bit. But we're so familiar with each other. Like you switch to the offensive side of the ball. And we know that Diggs and Thielen can get off against these corners. They've done it before. They've made great plays and great catches against the Saints. The defense is a little bit the same. I think it's still Eli Apple and the other kid out there who's real good on the corners out there. And, they haven't seen Cook in good shape. So we'll hopefully, they go against Kamara every day. It's pretty much could be the same thing. But I like offensively. Now, it just comes down to, well, I'm on the fence, man, and maybe we'll talk about this a little bit. I mean, do you take the game out of Cousins' hands or do you put it in Cousins' hands? I mean, that's the way it's got to go. Obviously, you're going to run the ball. You're going to want to screen. You're going to want to do the things you want to do with Cook. But do you want to reduce Cousins to a game manager type quarterback just because you feel better about it? I mean, that's what goes on in my head a little bit. Or do you want to just say, hey, man, here's the ball, sling it, and see if he can? I mean, it's a dangerous proposition to say that, I think, because I have zero confidence in Kirk in big spots. And a playoff game is a pretty big spot, and I think it actually helps that we're on the road for this one. But as far as Cousins is concerned, but where do you stand on that? I mean, do you want to take the ball out of his hand, try to run the ball, eat the clock, or do you want to just say, hey, man, sling the ball around? I mean, where do you stand on all that?
No, I don't think you can win playoff games with a game manager unless you have, a top five defense like the Ravens did. I mean, there's not many defenses and running games that's going to carry you to the Super Bowl and win it, let alone win a playoff game. So that's not to say that it hasn't happened. That's not to say that you can't get up on a team with some, the Vikes come out and have a nice opening drive. Then there's a fumble or a pick, and then they capitalize on it, and it's 14-0. Well, then that does obviously, that changes it a little bit. Not that I'd want to just go into run mode at 14-0 only early in the game, but it does change what you're going to try to accomplish that afternoon. But no, I say you do what you got to do to win this game. We've seen Kirk sling the fucking ball all around the field since he's been here for 2 years. So, the big spot thing this year, yes, some of them, he faltered, some of them not. But is the rest of everyone around him going to be on their game too, meaning the offensive line as well? That goes back to the debate we had last week, which one is it? So that is it just Cousins or is it this or is it a combination? So, obviously they have to – well, long story short, no, I say you just run your offense and you don't worry about, we can't have – Kirk throw the ball this week. I think that's not the way you want to do it. But unless, like I said, that example where we were to get up early or something, then yeah, hell yeah, just try to run or screen pass as much as you can. But there's been plenty of games this year that we've passed to run, knowing we went against a really good run defense, which I wouldn't necessarily call this defense. Now, who knows? Maybe they will throw a bunch of people in the box. My guess is they will. And that's where that play action is going to have to come and play. And we'll have to hit some mid to deep balls, something we've been doing, one of the most consistent teams with deep balls all year long, especially with Diggs, obviously, too. He's up there. I think he leads the league in that now. I don't know about if someone moved on him this last week because he didn't play or something like that, but they had, 14 of 20-plus catches, which was at the time leading the league. So No, I think you just you do your thing. I think the key is, can we establish what we try to do as an offense, and can we give Cousins a somewhat clean pocket, somewhat. You know, we can't sit there and ask for, you know, well, we're going to put him in shotgun and we'll have 7 seconds. I'm definitely not talking that, but it has to be somewhat of a clean pocket for, I'd say, 80% of the quarterbacks in the league to have a great game. So, I'd say we try to do our thing, you know.
Well, I think that's – I mean, you're right. You're going to see a loaded box until Kirk can prove that that's a bad choice for them. I mean, they're going to cut down Cook. I mean, that's what they're going to do. And they'll probably be pretty good at shutting down screen passes. And until he can open it up and get some intermediate passes and maybe a couple deep ones, they're going to load that box. And, you know, I just hope – I hate to say hope, but because you'd like to be able to expect him to be able to do that. But, you know, come out of the gate, make a couple good completions down the field, and you don't got to worry about that box. But if you falter a little bit, they're going to load that box and take away Cook, and then we're in some trouble. So I really feel like it's all about that first drive. Maybe that first, second drive will be maybe the story of the game. If you can move the ball, get down the field, and like you said, run your offense the way that you've been running it, and then you're in for a ballgame. Because I really like our defense against these guys if everybody plays sharp. I mean, the secondary is the biggest of all the issues defensively, but if they can play good to great, I mean, I really like our defense against this team. They've proven they can play them for spurts throughout a game. Like we said, we go back to the last playoff game where you're ahead in the half, and then, you know, Breeze comes out in the no huddle 23 or 4 plays in a row and starts to wear the defense down a little bit and starts throwing the ball all over the place, gets back in the game and almost wins it. I mean, that you don't want to see that. Maybe you learned your lesson from that. So you want to be able to possess the ball and to keep that offense off the field as much as possible.
Yeah, and, you know, that was 2 years playoffs. You look at, you know, last year during the season, you know, we had a nice drive going to the point where I think we were in range, and nothing's given when it comes to as far as field goals, that's for sure. But we were in field goal range, maybe even going to score that drive, a fumble, scoop, pick up, and it's a different game going into halftime. Then there was also a pick six that, you know, helped them gain even more momentum. So you're right. We've had our share of matchups with this team, and, you know, we gotta establish our brand and whatever that is. I mean, obviously you can't go deep, you know, 5 out of your first 8 plays, but even something like we talked about last week where it's loosening up some of that defense. Sure, it's only a 4-yard game, but hey, it's something. Something that's not getting talked about is the Vikes already beat the Saints this year, dude. 34-25, first game of the season. Oh, wait, that was in August. Forget it. So that doesn't count, does it? Because that doesn't go down on the record? Dang it. I got something for you. Something that kind of stands out. Now, they had a this is probably about 3 weeks ago, something like that. It was a great game with Frisco. Actually, they lost 48-46. But when you look at their other two losses, they kind of got beat up. 27-9 against the Rams. Week 2, when the Rams started out 3-0, we saw they faltered. Most of that had to do with their offensive line. They just couldn't do what they normally were able to do. And then 26-9 in Atlanta, against Atlanta. Another game where they just got manhandled a little bit. They got ran against, and they kind of just got beat up. So 2 out of their 3 losses, now they're 13-3. So that's not saying a whole lot. But just something to think about. Style-wise, some of those teams I mentioned, style-wise, match up with us somewhat. But I'm not just saying, well, look what we did to Atlanta. That means we can do it to them because, you know, A versus B equals C. That doesn't do much, really. It really doesn't do much. So Vegas has us right now, at a 8.5 point underdog, which isn't that big of a, you know, a deal. But I think it's somewhat fair. It is on the road as well. They are calling for a somewhat high scoring game, pro wise anyway. The number's almost to 50, so 48.5. So it's not a low scoring game. I don't think it will be either. I think it'll be I don't want to say track meet, but I think it'll be a little bit more like that. Zimmer, and this is just classic one-eyed Jack for you here, but Zimmer mentioned, and a couple other people I saw on Twitter mentioned this as well, that no one's given us a shot. Obviously, Zimmer's going to go with that regardless. We could be 16-0 and be like, they still don't believe us. You see, we got a lot to prove. And even though that would be true at the time because we haven't won a Super Bowl, but they left us out of the playoffs commercial. 14 out of the 16 teams were in the highlight. It was the Vikings being left out of the highlight. And Zimmer actually mentioned that. I don't know if someone in a meeting said, hey, dude, what the hell is this? Look at, they even have us. Or he was sitting there watching the TV and noticed it or what. But that kind of tells you what people think of our chances of winning this here ball game on Sunday at noon.
Yeah, so the two losses I think that you talked about the Saints having, wasn't that under Bridgewater? Because I know they lost Breeze for a long part of the season. The Atlanta game, and I think maybe he was out by week three for that Rams game. And it's amazing that team's 13-3 after losing Breeze for, what, 8 games or something in the season. That's just pretty impressive by the Saints. And you wonder, you know, like, God dang it, now that he's back, is he 100%? And you know, I think they also left Philadelphia out of that, too, from what I hear from the media. And, you know, Zimmer's always going to pick the nobody believes in us route, underdog route, you know, let's prove everybody wrong type of thing. I mean, that's kind of his M.O. as a coach, and you like it. But, you know, it is kind of hard to think that we're going to do much in the playoffs considering the way we came into the playoffs. Now, couple losses, not playing well on Monday night, but you know, overall the season was pretty good. And you know, I don't, 8.5's a lot of points. I think that's a little too much. I think it'll be a close game just because of our defense. I don't think our defense is going to give up 35, 42, no matter how badly the game goes offensively. So, I mean, I'm going to make a pick. I kind of want to make two picks, one if we play well and one if we don't play well, but that's kind of hedging your bets. And
you can't make two picks.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's a no-go.
So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to make one pick and kind of try to include all of that into it. You know, if we play well, we could win.
Well, here, I'll just give you a little bit more info. Breeze actually hit his helmet on – I think it was on a helmet, in that first game. And so he only played a chunk of it, in that first loss, I should say. But the second one, he played the whole game when they lost in November 26-9 against those dreaded Falcons.
Yeah, I think that was his first game back, wasn't it?
I'm not going to dig into that, dude. I can't keep Googling shit.
All right, so... here's the pick. I'm going to go.
So if they play well, the score will be closer than if they don't play well, they'll get their ass kicked. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, okay, so I'm saying it's either going to be a shootout or a blowout. I mean, that's the way I'm thinking about it. So it's hard for me to make a pick, but what I'm going to do is make a pick. So I'm going to say 28-23 Saints, begrudgingly. And this comes down to me and, you know, Cousins. Now, here's what I'm going to say about that. Is sometime that pot's gonna have to tip, right? It's just gonna have to. You can't feasibly go through offers on every important game. So you get everybody else rallies together and you tip that pot. And I hope this is the game that does that. And then you can go on from there and erase the old crap from back in the Redskins days and these last two seasons. So if this is possibly that game, I hope so, and that'll change the way I feel about it. But for right now, with all the information I can take in and spit out, I'm going to say 28-23 Saints.
We're going to have a good conversation when this season's over in in mid-February, right? When we have our last show. I mean, that's what we're hoping, that we go all the way to the Super Bowl. I can't sit there and say next week, because I don't want to have that recap of the season conversation just yet. I want to keep us going, but I'm with you. And what I meant by that is the Cousins extension talk from a few weeks ago and what has changed. But I'm with you, dude. It's such a weird, like, what could be 11 game potentially winning season. It's such a weird, the NFC's so damn top heavy right now. I mean, there's some damn good clubs, and you know, we're the sixth seed, but we're really the fifth seed, obviously. But because, you know, I mean, first of all, we beat Philly, and second of all, you know, that we know that they got the home field because they, you know, won their division, and there's nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. I remember Seattle beat, actually, was it the Saints or somebody else? The first year that happened, Seattle actually beat someone with a 7-9 record. So I guess we can't look into that so much, right? But you're right. It's such a weird feeling. And I believe like a month ago or a chunk of weeks ago, we had this same feeling of, gosh, that 8-3, 8-4, like it's been a weird feeling that we've had in many ways a successful season, regular season. In many ways, we now have taken steps in the right directions, large steps offensively. If you compare it to last year, we've talked about how, you know, if we can really get part of this left side of the line figured out, it would be, you know, we could take that other step and become maybe a top five offensive line, but we're just not there. And it just, I don't know, man. Maybe if the defense had played up to snub most of the year, you're going to have some stinkers, but maybe we'd feel a little bit more confident seeing the offense doing what it did most of the season. And then, you know, to have that, you know, of course we'd probably have home field in this game too, or maybe we'd be sitting out a week, right? And this whole thing would be just us talking Vikings and all that if we had both of them. But is this the week that the Vikes put it all together, both sides of the ball? Could that be? If that's the case, I say we could win the shootout, but no, I'm with you. I actually have it, what did I write down? 31 or 30 to 26 or 23, some kind of random field goals in there type score, something like that is what I had it. So in the 50s, a little over the 50s, and as far as total score, and unfortunately the Vikings going down to the Saints.
And then that opens up wrong. I mean, then that opens up a lot of talk that we don't want to necessarily get into, like you said, until February. But you're right. You can talk about Cousins extension. We can revisit the Cook extension. We can talk about Zimmer. We can talk about Spielman, which way this club's headed. You know, I really don't feel like there's going to be much of a change in the front office. You know, if you do, if there is, it might.
Shermer.
Well, obviously.
We may bring back Shermer because Lustos might be gone.
Yeah, and that's something to talk about as well. And then what do you do then? Because now you're looking at, do we bring Kubiak down from upstairs? If that's, you know, something he's interested in doing, you know, is Spielman going to last? I'm pretty sure Zimmer's going to last. I got a hunch that they wouldn't get rid of him, but Spielman maybe could be on some sort of hot seat. And, you know, I guess I don't really see why. I mean, yeah, he hasn't drafted a quarterback. And yeah, but his drafts have been good. If not great, he's had some misses.
Let's not get too deep into this.
Right. He's had some misses. He's had some hits. So, yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more later. But it'll be an interesting offseason. Let's hope that that's not past Sunday. Let's hope we can beat these Saints and then deal with another squad coming up. But, and it's not out of the realm of possibility to beat the Saints, but it's hard to go ahead and confidently say that that's what we're going to see when the last game that we saw the starters play was might have been their worst game of the season.
Offensively. But, see, I don't feel it just because of that. I just look at, once again this year, because I'm not a big one-game thing, but we have one win over a winning team this year. So that's a one improvement from last year. Because we didn't have one last year. So we have one. Now we had some what ifs and only if and all that stuff. But as you and I know, that doesn't line up at the end of it. But you're right, though. I mean, being that this is such a top-heavy, you know, NFC, like, sure, there's some bad teams in the NFC, of course, but anything can. It's not even a, you know, it's not even a, oh, anything can happen. It's not even actually that, you know. It's not like this would be some sort of, like, we're a 15-point dog or something like that, you know. So it could definitely happen. It just, yeah, can we put together a performance on offense and defense that we haven't found in these last 2 years, both on the same page, you know, like, hey, you guys played great, and so did you. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. Anything else you want to speak upon when it comes to these damn Saints before we talk a little Gophers football and then get the hell out of here?
No, but we did talk a little bit off air about how close we were to not having to face the Saints. Seattle lost at the buzzer almost last night. Green Bay almost went down, so, you know, we were rooting all. That's the first game I can remember where I rooted for the Packers to lose. I mean, I rooted for them to lose, obviously, every week. But I mean, that's inexplicable. They led for 0 minutes or seconds of that game and ended up winning. In fact, both games this season, the Packers were not leading at any point in the game and won both those games. And you're right, man. It's been such an up and down year. I mean, we're a 10-6 team with a terrible divisional record, and it's just. It doesn't bode well, but let's see, man. Like you said, they put it together offensively and defensively. I don't think there's anyone we can't beat, but you're going to have to do that, and you're going to have to do that 3 times on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little daunting. We'll see. We'll definitely see. So we're both got to pick in against our beloved Vikings. You got to do it sometimes. Sure, we're fans, but we're not fanboys. So, yeah, that about wraps that part of it up. Now, like we've done all year at the back end, the very, very last chunk of minutes of our podcast, we talk about Gopher football. I almost said Gopher football. I don't know. I'm not a golfer. Gopher football. They obviously have their toughest opponent coming up with those Auburn Tigers. You can look at, you know, some people say, yeah, but they're 9-3, dude. Okay, but look at their schedule, dude. Their schedule was the toughest. If you look at, like, LSU, well, I shouldn't say the toughest, but LSU, A&M, and Auburn, show me tougher schedules. Good luck with that, too. It's going to take you. It's going to take more than Google to find those answers. So it's going to be tough. Now, there is a defensive end that's stud that is not going to play because he's trying to get ready for the draft, okay? Now, there also might be some rotating with some of their studs on the defensive line for that exact reason. You know, well, let's get some people in next year, but also, this guy's going to go in the first round. We don't want to mess up his career. We can't win anything. What, are we going to win our way back in the top 10 at the end of the season? Yeah, that's great and all, but it's not all that important for him at that moment. They just beat Alabama, dude. They're good for the season. And I like to go right off of that because there is a potential that they're like, row a fucking boat. Who the fuck is rowing a boat, dude? You can't even row in the winter. You know, they can be thinking, who is this Minnesota squad? We just beat Bama. We had some tight games with, you know, the LSU in Florida that they just didn't win, but they were tight. And so there could be some lackadaisical, these up north slow-ass dudes are going to come back down. But once they put on the tape, I doubt they'll be thinking that. But you do run into this in bowl season. It's something that we talked about on the College Ball Show plenty. Motivation. What is your motivation? Now, you know, Minnesota's going to be motivated as hell. But when you look at a team like Auburn, who's been there and done that, and is amongst the top level programs in the country, there is a possibility that they could come out minorly less focused and saying, dude, we've already played some of the toughest teams in the league. We're coming off Bama. Maybe they get all caught up in that Bama win because it is, you know, that in-state huge rivalry. A lot of people don't realize Auburn isn't in Alabama. It's pretty crazy. That little last place can produce two programs like that. But Nix, Bo Nix, okay, his father was the offensive coordinator there. I believe on that, maybe I'm wrong, I believe on one of those championship squads a while back, not the last run, but with Cam. But he's just okay at this moment. He is not a stud. Now, he'll do some plays where you're like, wow, this kid's going to be really good. And, you know, in a lot of those games were against really, really tough opponents. So he did show out against Oregon to come back and win the game. But if you look at his stats and how he played in the game, it was rough. It was rough. So he's had some rough outings. He's not a great quarterback at this stage in his career. They obviously have a great offensive line. I'm wondering with those defensive line if that helps us in there, though. One completely not playing and another a little banged up. He may not play as much as he normally would in a normal game. So this is going to be a good game. I don't think we're going to get ran out of town. But I do think that they're going to lose the game. But I feel like we're going to – I just love this matchup because, like I said, it was the toughest – this is our toughest opponent. And, yeah, you got to 10-2, man. That's phenomenal. We had a great season. This, that, we got that crucial big win we needed. We got to – you know, all this stuff, right? But there's also – sometimes it's good to be humbled in these moments. And – even if we did kind of get beat up to where somewhere in the third quarter, and this is what I kind of feel like is going to happen in the game, somewhere in the third quarter, whether it's mid or late, it may start to get look like a dominant performance from Auburn. But no matter what happens, obviously if we win, that's a huge deal, and I do think it helps in recruiting, closing on someone that's still out there, you know, for the February date, or, you know, obviously – you know, 2021. So, long story short, I love this matchup because it's a good way, even if we get smacked around a little bit, it's a good way to go humble yourself and reevaluate what you did in the season and what you didn't do in the season, what you do next year with a lot of talent coming back. And those off-season workouts and spring practice, spring game, you kind of get a little bit more humbled if you get smacked around by a big-time SEC game going to the offseason.
You know, I caught the College Ball Show, and I think all three of us are kind of in agreement on this as far as motivation and, you know, what might be a down game for Auburn is an up game for Minnesota and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't know if you got news or not, but I was under the assumption that the stud defensive end for Auburn is going to play. So there might be two of them. But the news I had that he is going to play this game, unless something happened today, which I'm not sure if it did or not, but that being beside the point, you know, I think, you know, I don't know what more to add to that analysis that you just put because it's pretty much in line with everything that I think about. I think it might be a close first half with Auburn pulling away in somewhere in the third quarter, just like you said. And, you know, like you said, it's a bit of a litmus test to see where we stand up against the top-notch program in the country. Yeah, we stacked up well against the middle-range Big Ten and played decently against the top-tier Big Ten. But, you know, where do we stand as far as an SEC school? And now that gives you an opportunity to see how you stack up and hire an OC that might help you get a little bit closer to whatever you're missing as far as this game might show you. And, of course, that means that we lost Kurt Schiracha to Penn State, which is odd because it's in conference. So otherwise, you know, you think, well, you don't mind losing him, but now you got to see him every year, 2 years, whenever we play Penn State, if he stays around there that long. And, you know, I thought he did a really good job.
We won't play him for a while now.
Sure.
Because we just played him. But, yeah, it does suck in conference, you're right.
And, you know, he did a great job with Morgan and did a good job with this offense. I'm not a huge fan of the RPO, but it worked. And the offense that works is I'm a fan of. So, you know, PJ's trying to hire someone new. You know, that'll be a change in continuity and things like that. But that's not anything to do with this bowl game. And so, I mean, I really don't have much more to say than you. Maybe I'll give a pick because you just hit everything that I was going to hit on the head. So, you know, I'm thinking it's not going to be a huge blow. We're not going to get run out of the gym. I think, like I said, it'll be a close first half, if not maybe a tied first half. But I think at some point Auburn's going to pull away just because I think they're a little bit ahead of recruiting, if not a lot ahead in recruiting. So they're a little bit better athletically than we are and maybe used to the spotlight a little bit more. But like I said, these kind of training wheels for the next step in the program. And so I'm going to go 34-14, something around there. Auburn wins this one, and we take those lessons and come home and try to build on them.
So there's three of them on the line. That's what we're dealing with when we go against these big programs. Like, oh, they got three dudes that are getting drafted? Okay, great. No, but Nick Coy is going to be out. He's a defensive end. He's kind of the pass rushing, well, they even say pass rushing specialist in this one. But the other two, Derek Brown and Davidson, Davidson's the other end. He is playing in the big daddy in the middle, who I did kind of hear he may split some time just in case, but I was hoping he'd just park this one for this one. But no, Derek Brown, stud defensive tackle, he's definitely playing. So we can only hope that they rotate his ass in and out a little bit more than they normally would. But there is one stud that is not going to play, and, you know, that helps. That definitely helps. No doubt about it.
And I think that just going against this young offensive line, they're not as young as they were last year, but they're still young. Be a good lesson for them, and I think it'll be a good experience. I think, you know, if they could play really well, it changes the outlook a little bit on this game, but I just don't, you know, overall team-wise, defensively, what we're going to be playing, what we're not, I just, you know, offensive coordinator issue, things like that, I just don't see us pulling an upset here. But stranger things have happened, but I just don't see it happening right now. And I think, like you said, you kind of nailed it with the fact that, you know, it's a good place to judge where you are and, like I said, come back and tool up to what you might need to become.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the coordinator as far as at a full-time basis, too. So, I think that about wraps it up. So it's a big Go Vikes, Go Gophers week. Wednesday at noon Central Time is that Gopher game, that their Gopher game against the Auburn Tigers. And right at the same time, Bama and Michigan play. So that's kind of interesting. So, yeah, I think that about wraps it up. You got anything else, sir?
Man, let's wrap her up.
All righty. We will be back next week, hopefully, to talk about a Vikings victory. We'll see you next week. Peace. Go Vikes.